Okay, to both sides, today's daf is Shabbos daf Chof. We have the tremendous schus of finishing the first parak of Shabbos. And we are also coming to you from my new base medrash, which is really just my mirpeset by my washing machine. But I found a quiet place to plop down a shtender, and we are away we go. So we are on Yud Tesim base by the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, it is the last Mishnah in the first parak. Ain't solin basar batzal ubeitza. We don't roast meat, onions, and eggs. El kadesh yitzolu mi bod yom on erev Shabbos, unless they will roast while it's still sunny out while before Shabbos. Ain't nosman pas latanor im chashecha. Again, the concern here is that if it goes into Shabbos and it's still roasting, you may come to stoke the coals. We definitely don't want you to do that. That would be the malacha of Mavir. Havara. Okay. And the same concern is for a lot of these cases. You can't put bread into the oven close to sundown. Harara, Rashi writes, is ugat ritzafim, some sort of cake. You're not allowed to put cake on top of coals. El kadeshi karmu panam ibod yom. As long as, unless the outside is going to crust over. While it's still sunny, if you're going to get a nice crust on the outside, so we're not concerned that you're going to come and stoke the coals to make it cook faster, because then lamaisa, you're going to burn it, or it's pretty well done already. Rabbi Lezer says no. Kedesha yikra matachton shalom, so that the bottom already starts to crust over. And the Gemara will explain exactly what that means. Mishal shalom as a pesach batonu or imchashecha, you're allowed to put the korban pesach into an oven, to roast over a fire. On sundown, meaning assuming Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos, or you have to roast the Korban Pesach on Shabbos, but obviously you can't actually go and roast on Shabbos, so you can put it in right before Shabbos to roast. And they would also allow you to light the Madura in the Beis HaMukar. In the Beis HaMikdash, there used to be this big bonfire, in one part of the Beis HaMikdash, because, in the winter months it got cold, and the Kohanim had to do Avoda barefoot. So it got pretty cold, so they used to have this big bonfire, so they can go warm themselves. So basically it was mutter for you to kind of just light a little bit of the fire, Erev Shabbos. You just kind of like ignite it and whatnot, and you wouldn't be concerned that you're going to come to stoke the coals in the Beis HaMikdash for sure. You'll see the Gemara will explain exactly this machlokas in terms of what's the deal with that. Ubagvulin, but outside of the Beis HaMikdash, the gvul literally means a boundary, but it means within the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael, but outside the Beis HaMikdash. So then, if you're going to light a fire at Erev Shabbos, then kadesh shitechos ha'or berubo, you need to make sure that the whatever bonfire type thing you're lighting, that most of it has to catch fire. Again, we're concerned that you're going to kind of mess around over there and can either add more wood or kind of stoke the coals or kind of move it around if it's not burning properly. But once it's most of it is burning, so then we're not concerned that you're going to do that. And Rabbi Yehuda Omer b'chamim b'kolshu, if you're using charcoal, any coals, and obviously now any amount of fire will cause charcoal to burn up completely. We're not concerned you're going to stoke them. And actually, in Israel, they sell a couple of kinds of charcoals. One of them is, the Kingston match light, which is, American standard. You light them, in a second they turn, they start burning. And the other stuff is basically dry wood. And you need to buy lighter fluid and all this stuff to help it burn. So obviously, we're not talking about those type of coals. We're talking about the actual, the Kingston, the match light, the coals that'll burn right away. So Rabbi Yehuda says, if you're lighting coals, you can light them, and you don't have to wait for them to start catching fire. Okay, the Gemara says, v'kama, how much needs to be roasted? Right, we said before, you can roast, the first thing the Mishnah said, you're not allowed to roast meat, onions, or eggs, unless they can become roasted while it's still daytime. The Mishnah didn't define roasted, so that's the Gemara says, v'kama, how much do you need to roast meat for? And the other foods, Rabbi Lazar Marav, Kadeshi Yitzolu Mibod Yom, Kemachal Ben Drusoy. A pretty well known shita that Machal Ben Drusoy, the food of a thief, if it roasts the amount of time, or the amount of, I guess, the amount of roasting, that a thief would normally roast, right? Because he's always on the move. He's got to move. He can't just sit down to have a nice dinner. He can't take his time at the campfire. So then that's enough. How much is that? So that's machlokes between Rashi and the Rambam. Rashi writes it's a third cooked, and the Rambam writes it's a half. So, again, just to clarify, if it had cooked a third of the way, let's say Rashi Shita before Shabbos, so then it is no longer, we're no longer concerned that you will stoke the coals, and it is already cooked enough for a person to eat. Itmar Nami was also said, Amar Rav Asi, Amar Rav Yochanan, Kol Shub Kamacho Ben Drusoy, Ein Bo Mishum Bishul Anochrim. If you have an item that's already been cooked, Kamacho Ben Drusoy, and then a goy cooks the rest of it, there's no Iser Bishul Anochri. Because the thing is already cooked. We considered it as if it's already fit for consumption. Just because the goy does the rest of the cooking the whole way, so that's not going to be an Iser Bishul Anochri. Tanya within the Rebbeisa, Chananya Omer, Kol Shu Kamacho Ben Drusoy, Mutter Lashosu Al Gabi Kiro. And we also learned, similarly, that the share of Macho Ben Drusoy, if you have food that is already, let's say, Rashi Shita, one-third cooked, you can leave it on top of, excuse me, on top of the stove. Kiro actually is a disgusting, it's a Kiro is like, back in the day, it was like a little, you know, cylindrical type of pottery thing, but for nowadays, the equivalent is a stove. And we're not concerned, right? Even though the coals are not either garuf means they're pulled away, and katu means you pour dirt on them. Right? Again, just a kira stove back in the day, it wasn't like stoves that we have now. We turn on the knob. It used to be like this little kind of like cone shaped thing where you'd have coals on the bottom and a narrow top, and you kind of put the pot on top of there. So we're concerned that you may come to stoke the coals if you leave food, right? That's the issue of shehiyah, which we'll talk about. If you leave food on the oven or on the stove, we're concerned you may come to stoke the coals underneath. So usually we say that if the stove is garufum katum, meaning that the coals are either removed or covered over with dirt, so then it's mutter. And here he says it's even mutter, if it's macho ben drusoy already, it's even mutter without garfu katum, that you can leave it on the top of the kira, regardless. Okay. Eight nosen is a pas. We said you don't put the bread into an oven, right, unless the machokas, whether the face or the bottom of it needs to get crusted over. Iboilu asked the question, tachton hech degabe tanur, odol ma tachton hech degabe haor. Used to be that they used to stick dough on the sides of the oven. Obviously the fire is in the middle, but they used to stick the dough on the side of the oven. That's how they would bake it. That's back in the day, that's how they bake their bread. If you can imagine them baking kind of soft matzahs, so it makes a lot more sense, right? Obviously they're not braiding these fancy braids like we have challah nowadays. But back in the day they used to have much flatter bread. So they used to throw it, they used to cook it on the side of the oven. So the question is, when the machlokas says the tachton, the bottom of the bread, is that the bottom meaning facing the fire, or is that facing the wall of the oven? So the Gemara clarifies, Tashma, Rabbi Elezer, Omer Kadesh, Karmu, Panea, Hamu, Bakim, Batanur. No, the tachton is the side that's stuck to the wall. Okay, so that's the machlokas we had in the Mishnah. Mishal Shin is a Pesach, you're allowed to put the Korban Pesach into an oven. My time, why is that? Mishim de B'nei Chaburu's reasoning. Because, again, you're putting an unroasted kid over a fire. So the Chora, that should be Usher. So the Gemara says, no, B'nei Chabura, usually the Korban Pesach was eaten in a Chabura, in a group of people. And it was very rare that one person would have an entire Korban Pesach, because you have to finish it all by Chatzos, you have to finish it all at night. So you used to have big meals. So people in the Chabura, people involved, right, everybody you invited over for your Seder, they're going to be Zuizim, they're going to be careful. They're going to say, hey, don't stoke the coals, don't roast it any further. Gemara says, Alav Hachilo, without that, are you not allowed to? Really? Is that really true? Why can't you do it anyway, regardless of whether the people in the Chabura are going to warn you? Vamar Mar, we said before, right, this is yesterday's daf, I think, maybe 2 days ago, Gadya Bain Sharik, Bain Shalosh Sharik, Shapridami, right? We said to leave a young goat who will get damaged if you open the oven. Right, its meat is very tender. It'll get damaged if you open the oven, regardless of whether the oven is sealed or not. Right, whether it's easy to get at the coals or not. Shabbat dummy, you're allowed to leave cooking Erev Shabbos and into Shabbos, because we're not afraid you're going to open the oven because you'll ruin the meat. And the Korban Pesach has to be a goat or a sheep that's less than 1 year old. So that's considered, you know, a young goat, young meat. That meat will get damaged by the oven. So when it says, no, hosam mintach, hacha lo mintach. No, here, mintach means it's cut up into pieces. In that case over there, when it's cut up into pieces, yeah, if you open the oven, then it'll ruin the meat. But here, what are you doing? The Korban Pesach, you're roasting it over a spit hole. Right? You have to literally stick a spit through it, and you roast it live, you know, entirely. So there, if you open the oven over there, so then it's since it's one huge, you know, and not so huge, but I guess since it's one intact piece of meat, so it's not actually going to get damaged by the wind. Okay. Machizin esor. So we said you're not allowed to light the fire, and they did in the Beis Hamikdash. They lit the fire of this big bonfire that they used to keep the Kohanim warm. So it says Menani Mili. How do you know? How do you know that you're allowed to light this fire and let it run? So Rav Huna Lo Sevar Leish B'Chomosh V'Zichem. The Pasuk Torah says you're not allowed. Last week's parsha, you're not allowed to burn fire in any of your dwellings. B'Chomosh V'Zichem Yatamavir. That you're not allowed to light a fire in any of your homes. But you are allowed to light a fire in the Beis Hamikdash for the Kohanim. The Gemara says, "Maskev lo Rav Chista." Chista says, "Wait a second, Yachi. If that's the source, I feel the Shabbos Nami. You should also be able to light it on Shabbos itself. If that's really the makor, that burning, that fire is only usher outside of the Beis Hamikdash. So why can't you just light that fire whenever you want on Shabbos?" So Rav Chista. Rav Chista says, "No." That pasuk is something else entirely. It's coming to allow us to burn the fats and the extra innards of the korbanos that go throughout the night. Usually that was burned throughout the night. Well, what about Friday night, right? When you shech all the stuff that you shechted on Friday, what do you do with that? So you see from here that pasuk that it's mutter to leave it on the mizbeach and burn it Friday night. That pasuk is coming to teach me about that. Vakohanim. So and what's so therefore? What's the reason why you can light this big fire right before Shabbos and not? We're not afraid that you may come to stoke the coals. Kohanim's reason, man, and the Kohanim are careful. They'll be careful in the Beis Hamikdash. Right? You're standing in the presence of God. You'll be very careful. Okay. And we said in outside the Beis Hamikdash, you have to make sure that the fire, if you light a fire before Shabbos, a bonfire with a lot of wood. So you need to make sure that the fire will kind of spread to most of it. So Gemara says, "My Ruban, what do you mean most of it?" So you have to define that. That's very general. So Amarav, Rov Kol Echad VeEchad. Rav says it's most of every single piece of wood you have there. Shmuel Amar Kadesh Lo Yomru Havei Eitzim VeNaniach Tachteim. And Shmuel says, "No, it's as long as people won't say, 'Bring us more wood,' meaning as long as people are not asking for more fuel. So that I guess is probably a lesser amount of spread of the fire than Rav's opinion." Tanya Rabbi Chia said, "L'siyo de Shmuel." He brought a brisa to prove Shmuel's shita. Kadesh they shall have as ola me'aleha, v'losh they shall have as ola de davar acher. Right, you have to make sure that if you're going to burn this fire, it's actually that brisa is a machlokas. Rashi breaks two shitas. What that brisa is talking about, either it's talking about a menorah, or talking about what's the other shita here. Right, we're talking about if you're making a bonfire, which is actually our case. But okay, but either way, the Brisa says that you have to make sure that the fire will go on its own, and that you don't need to bring another something else to fuel the fire. That's exactly Shmuel's Shita. Eitz Yechidi, what about if you have one beam? You have one, your fire consists of one piece of wood. You're lighting some, I don't know, huge or thick or whatever piece of wood to make your fire. So Rav, I'm a Rov Ovio. Amrila Barov Hekefo. So Rav says the fire has to catch with most of the width of the wood. And some people say most of the circumference, meaning most of the outside, right? The long way. Rav Papa Hilkach, therefore Binan Rov Oviov Ubinan Rov Hekefo. And therefore you need both. You need also the fire has to penetrate most of the thickness of the wood, right? And it also has to penetrate, it has to cover most of the outside of the wood. Ketanai, it's actually a machlokas tanai. Rabbi Chiya Amar, Rabbi Chiya says, "Kadesh yishaches ha'etz mimlechas ha'uman." Rabbi Chiya says, "You have to how much fire has to burn, you know, on erev Shabbos, as long as the wood is no longer able to be used by a professional, by an uman, by a craftsman. Yishaches means to be destroyed. As long as you destroy the fire and it's no longer you'll be able to be used by a craftsman, a carpenter." So then that's fine. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beserah says, "Kadesh tachos ha'es mishnei tzedadim." as long as the fire, you know, will kind of, I guess, consume the beam or the wood from both sides. Even though there's no proof either way, but there is a kind of like a remez, a hint, because the pasuk says that pasuk is saying when it literally means that the two ends have been burned, eaten by the fire, and its inside has been nachar. I forget. It's been like burned. Hitzlach malacha. It's still not fit for work. You can't use it for work anymore. So that's the hint that you have to actually destroy the wood to the point where it's unable to be used by a craftsman. Okay. Va'ach lefanov ma'avares. This pasuk is right. The pasuk when Yoyakim was brought. Yoyakim was one of the kings. Yirmiyahu told Yoyakim. Yirmiyahu the Navi told Yoyakim the Melech that Yerushalayim was going to be destroyed. Yoyakim, kind of burned that letter. So the pasuk there says va'ach lefanav maveris, and the ach in front of him is burning. And the Gemara just says, what is ach? My ach, Amarav, achvana. Achvana. What's achvana? So achvana is aravos. Like a ravo wood. Aravos are in English a willow tree. So they're aravos. So Shmuel Amar Eitzim Shenidiklu Ba'achvana. And Shmuel says, no, it's wood that was burned together in a bundle. Okay. Hahud Amar Lahu. Somebody said to someone else, and maybe the Gemara just proves that's it's actually a willow tree, a ravos. There was a guy who said, "Man boy achvana, who wants achvana? I'm selling achvana. Who wants to buy some?" And ashtachach aravasa. And apparently, he was selling aravos, these willow stalks. And you see that achvana is in fact aravos. I'm Rabbi Huna. Rabbi Huna says, "Kanim, if you have individual, not reeds, but like individual long sticks of wood." But if you can imagine a bunch of, let's say, bamboo shoots, bamboo wood, right? The long things maybe people use for schach. I know my dad uses for schach, right? Back in the day, and today, he uses that for schach. So you can imagine those long bamboo, reeds. Ein tzrichen rov ogdon. If you have a bunch of those, meaning if your fire consists of a bunch of those sticks, you don't need most of them to catch fire, right, while it's still Erev Shabbos. Assuming once a pile of loose reeds is going to burn, the fire will keep on going. You're not worried you're going to kind of bring more fuel or stoke the coals, etc. Agdon, but if they're tied together, then Srichen Rov. Then you need to get most of them on fire because, assumingly, if they're tied together, it'll take a longer time for the fire to reach all of it. And perhaps in the middle, some of it will kind of be shielded a little bit. And you're concerned you may kind of jostle them around. To make sure everything catches on fire, then that's obviously Asar HaShavos. Gar'inim, if you're using seeds or pits, for whatever reason, Rashi writes, right, Shal Tamra, date pits, Im Asa Mehem Madura, the Keshe Yavsho, Ein Tzrichen Rov. We're talking, apparently, the date pits are flammable, apparently, who knew? So if you're using them for fires, Ein Tzrichen Rov, you don't need most of them to catch on fire before Shabbos, because assuming they're similar to like charcoal, so they're going to catch fire really quickly. Nasnan chotalos, but if you put it in a basket, so then tzrichen rov, again, the same idea, if you bind them together, you do need a rov, because then they may not catch fire as easily. Maskevlo, Rav Chista said, one second, adraba, no, the opposite, ipcha mitstabra, the opposite makes more sense. Kenim, individual reeds, yeah, individual bamboo, like long sticks, mevadron, if they're by themselves, they will kind of like scatter, meaning that you may not necessarily get them all, ablaze, right? They may scatter and they may kind of roll away and then they're not in the fire. But agdon, if they're tied together, so the little mevadron, they're not going to get out of the fire, they're not going to fall away. And the whole thing will burn eventually, and you don't need to stoke the coals there. Garinin and seeds, similarly by themselves, mevadron, they will scatter by themselves. Nothing but chutelos, and if you put them in a basket, so lo mevadron, they're not going to go anywhere. It's just going to be a fire in a basket. You don't have to. So the opposite makes more sense. Marnamis, who's also said, Amar Rav Kahana, Rav Kana said, Kinim, I don't even know. I'm not sure. She'agdan, if you bind them together, then Tzrichan Rov, then you do need Rov. V'lo Agdan in Tzrichan Rov. And if you don't bind them together, they don't need Rov. That's like the first way we learned. But Garinim, seeds, right, again, these date pits, so Tzrichan Rov, then they do need a Rov, because they could scatter, but Nastam B'chatolos, but if you put them in a basket, ain't Tzrichan Rov, then they don't. Labriu. Tanya Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef taught Arba Maduros in Tzrichan Rov. There are four. A Madura is obviously a bonfire, but if the bonfire is made or fueled by four different things, any one of these things, so you don't need a Rov because they're going to burn very easily. So Zephes is pitch, Shalgafris is sulfur, Shalgvina is cheese, but Shalravav, a Ravav, Rashi writes, Shuman Beshava, means. Shuman is fats, like greasy fats, where those burn very easily. You don't need to make sure all of them catch fire. If you light it on Erev Shabbos, it's totally fine. But Masnis Satana, the Mishnah we taught, Af Shal Kash Shal Gavava, so too if you have a fire of straw or of Gavava. Gavava Rashi writes that stuff that you kind of gather in from the field, I assume it's little bits of grass and maybe tree droppings and maybe, like, I think mulch is the word, but alright, whatever. Those are also very flammable. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Eitzin Shel Bavel, Babylonian trees, Ein Tzrichan Rov. You don't need a rov for there, they're very flammable. Maskefla, Rabbi Yosef asked the question, 1 second, Maihi, what are these trees? Ilei Masilti, if you're going to tell me that they are, silti is very thin strips of wood, which apparently that's what, you know, that's how Rashi writes, with Bavel, no hugging cane, they used to cut their wood very thin. So Ashta Psila, Amar Ula Hamadlik Tzarek Sheadlik Barov. So if Ula is going to say that if you have a wick in a lamp, right, in an oil cup, right, the wick you need to burn most of it, as much of it as you can. So Silti Mibaya. What did I skip a line? Hamadlik Tzarek Sheadlik Barov Hayotze Barov Hayotze. You have to light most of the wick that comes out of the lamp. So Silti Mibaya, certainly if you have these, you know, little thin woods, so you have to light most of them. So Elamar Rav Yosef says no. Shucha de Arza. Really, it's cedar branches, which apparently that was the trees they had in Bavel. Rami Bar Abba Amar Zaza. Rami Bar Abba says no. It's actually referring to moss, and that is something according to Rami Bar Abba. So what's it called? Eitzin Shel Bavel. This moss that if you use light that on fire, the Einan Tzrichan Rov, you would not need a rove of that to catch fire before Shabbos, and it'd be mutter for you to let it run through Shabbos. Hadron Alachi, Tzios Shabbos. We are very zocha to finish the first parak, and let's dive in straight away into the second parak. The second parak, as perhaps for those who say Bamei Balikin every Erev Shabbos, right, this is going to be familiar to us, but I'm not sure if anybody ever really stops to read the English, if they say it at all. Svardim don't say it at all. Many Svardim, some do. But anyway, let's do it. What are you allowed to light Shabbos candles with? Again, what's the concern here? We don't want a person to light a fire, right? Obviously, to lighting a fire, Erev Shabbos, women, obviously, tremendous mitzvah to light a fire. It's Kavod Shabbos. It's an Indian to have lots of lights, to make sure there's a simcha in the house, and you have Shalom Bayis and the whole deal, right? So certainly we, the minog and the mitzvah, rather, is to light candles in Erev Shabbos. But what are we concerned here? We're nervous that if the flame, if either the oil or the wick is not of good quality, so you may come to kind of adjust it a little bit. And obviously adjusting it a little bit will lend to the malacha of havara, of burning, because you're either adding fuel to a fire or you're allowing the fire to burn more brightly. That's the malacha of havara. So the Gemara wants to know what kind of fuel are we allowed to use? Both, we're going to talk about both wick and oil, or I guess fuel for the wick. What are we allowed to use and what are we not allowed to use? Again, the chashash being that you may come to adjust it a little bit on Shabbos. So, b'me b'nlikin u'moy in manlikin. What are you allowed to light Shabbos candles with? Ein manlikin lo b'lechesh. You're not allowed to. Now, I don't know what this is, what at all. The article translates this, I have in my Gemara written here, as cedar bast. I have no idea what that is. A lot of these things I'm not sure what they are, but I guess we'll just say what the translations are. V'lo v'chosen, v'lo v'cholach. Chosen is flax, a type of flax. And kolach, the Gemara is going to discuss, but it's very thin silk. V'lo v'psilas ha'idan, and not with that's the psila, the psoles, the remnants of an idan, which is of the willow. V'lo v'psilas ha'midbar, and not with the psoles of a desert. Assumingly, these are very thin strands of whatever they are. V'lo biroka al pnei ha'mayim, and not with green stuff that's on top of the water. Now, that's the Gemara is going to say that's not algae. That's actually the stuff that the Gemara is going to say, the stuff that grows on the bottom of boats. So I guess whatever you call that, I don't even know. But, okay. So that's we're not allowed to use those items for wicks. Those are insufficient wicks. They're not strong enough. They don't hold a flame. They dissolve. They disappear, or they're not trustworthy at all. Now, what about the oils? V'lo b'zefes, not with pitch, we said. V'lo b'shava, not with wax. Now, wax. Well, of course, we all light wax candles. So, no. That wax candle is not... It's not. You'll see in a second. I'm going to talk about that. V'lo b'shem and kik, v'lo b'shem and srefa. You're not with kik oil, or not with burned oil, or burning oil, or oil that has to be burned. The Gemara will explain what that is. V'lo b'alya, v'lo b'chelev. And not with alya. Alya is the fat from the sheep's tail. It's supposed to be a very delicious and delectable piece of meat. Chelev is the fats that come from an animal. Again, this is, we said before, that fats burn pretty easily, but Lamaisa, this is not, it's, I think chelev is much harder and much stiffer, and it's not as greasy. It's also usser for us to eat. Nacham Amadi Omer, Nacham Amadi says, Malikim Chelev Mevushal, you're allowed to light with boiled chelev, that if you actually boil the chelev up, it becomes softer, and this is probably what we was talking about before, that the chelev, let me just see one second. Yeah, if you boil up the chelev in the animal, the fat's in the animal, so then it does become usable. No, regardless of what you do, the chelev in malikim bo, you're not allowed to use it as fuel for the wick. So the Gemara says, we're going to identify all these things. I'm not sure what half of these things are, but so be it. Lechesh, what is lechesh? That's shucha de arza, that's the bark of a cedar tree. So Gemara says, shucha de arza eats balmahu. Wait a second, that's just wood. Well, yeah, of course you can't use wood as a wick. That doesn't make sense. Right? That doesn't work at all. Rashi writes it would be much more similar to a madura, to a torch. Much more fitting to use as a torch, right? You make a bonfire and like Balmer, you throw in all this wood, but not for a candle in the house. So Gemara says, Ba'amra nisa de ispe. No, that's with the soft, kind of woolly stuff that's inside the bark. Apparently, I don't even know what you would call it. I'm not a zoologist. I don't know anything about trees. But apparently inside the cedar tree, inside the bark, there is some sort of soft, kind of mossy, wick-type substance. And that's no good because that will burn up too quickly. Yeah. V'lo v'chosen. What's chosen? Amrav Yosef Na'oris Shal Pishton. That is flax. Some part of the flax. It's one of the things you do to get flax, part of the plant. Amalei Abaye said vaksiv vaya chosen lanores, but the pasuk says that no, chosen is for fire. No, chosen is for naores. Right, meaning the pasuk says the chosen will become the ores. Apparently, they're not the same thing. Ela Amar Abaye kisna the daik lulonofitz. No, chosen is kisna, which is flax. It's been beaten up, but it's not yet been combed. Apparently, the process of getting flax from the plant itself is there's combing involved, there's beating involved. I'm not sure, but apparently before if you do use that before you do that process, then it's no good. V'lo b'kolach, Amar Shmuel, Shaltinu l'chol nachta yoma. I asked all the sailors, and they told me v'amrila, and they said kulcha shme. It's called kulcha. Okay. Again, that's kind of like some sort of moss that's found in the sea, on top of all the coral and stuff. Yisrael bar zeira amar gushkara. That's it's silk that's very thin. All right. Ravin va'abaye amar havu yaspe kamei derabana. the Rabbanan Nehemiah, sorry, Achu the Reish Galusa. So Rabban and Abaye were sitting in front of Rabbanan Nehemiah, who was the brother of the Reish Galusa. The Reish Galusa was the Rosh Hashiva of the Galus. Chazi de Hava Levesh Metaksa. They saw he was wearing silk. I'm the Rabban and Abaye, Hainu Kolach. This is Kolach, which we did tonight. Now we learned in the Mishnah. That's the Amar Lei, Rabbi said back to Rava, Anan Sheira Paradna Krinalei. We call it Paradna silk, Paranda silk. Okay. Shira being silk. Meisvei, one second, hold on. Hashirayim, Vakalach, Vasirkin, Chayav, and Betzitzis. All of those three things, silk and kolach and other types of silk are Shayach Tzitzis. So apparently you see kolach is different than Shirayim, is different than silk. So Gemara says Tiyufta, you're right, that's a Tiyufta. Iboy say more, or another answer, Shira Luchud, Vishira Paradna Luchud. No, that Shira, that silk, and Shira Paradna, this Paradna silk, that is differently, and therefore the Brisa mentioned them one after the other. All right. Vlobo Psilas, I didn't know how to use that. Achivna, the Gemara says that is stuff that's found in the, we had them before, in the Aravos, in the willows. So Rav and Rabbi have ka'alzna bipakta de tar mururisa. Right, Rav and Abaye were going in Tamrurisa, in the valley of Tamrurisa. Chazinu lanu arvasa, they saw aravos, they saw willows. Amalei Rav and Abaye, Rav and said to Abaye, hainu idan de tnan. This is the idan, that's the willows, the aravos. Amalei, nahi eitz ba'amahu, what do you mean? That's just a tree. The same question we had before. You can't use a tree for wicks. So Gemara says, Kolaf, Ravin peeled off some of the bark, the Achvele Amranisa de Beni Beni. And he showed the stuff inside, meaning the inside, it's talking about the stuff inside between the bark, I guess, and the center of the tree. Vlobo Psilas Hamidbar, you're not supposed to light Shabbos candles with this desert kind of petil. Petil is a wick, but this wick from the desert. So Gemara says, Shavra, that's apparently a tall grass from the desert. Okay. Velo biroka shall what is that? Shall panamayim? Right? Mayhi, the Gemara says, what's that? It's ilima ukamta de charitzi, so I ruined it for you. But if you're gonna tell me that it's algae, so iparcha parcha, that stuff comes apart. Now algae, you can't skim algae off the top and burn it. What are you talking about? El amra papa akumta de arba. No, it's the stuff that's on the bottom of a boat. I guess that's moss or something, I'm not sure exactly. Okay. Tana, we learned in a brisa. Hosif olehen shel tzemer v'shel sear. They added a couple of things that you're not allowed to burn: tzemer, wool, and sear, and hair. V'tana didan. Why an ar tana? Why didn't he list it? Because tzemer mechavis kavets. Because tzemer, wool, will curl up, and sear ichruche michrach, and hair burns up very quickly. Meaning, it was obvious according to our tana. He felt it was obvious. You can't use wool and hair because that will just disappear immediately. Velova zefes, and you can't light with zefes or shava or wax. So zefes zifta, zefes is pitch, and shava kirusa, and shava is wax. So Tana with under Rabbi said, and again, we're just going to talk about what I thought we light with wax candles. So adkan psul psilos. Until here, we're talking about wicks, which are no good. Meaning, up until the stuff that's on the bottom of the boat, right, we're talking about wicks. Mikan ve'elach, but from here on, pusul shmonim, we're talking about oils. We're talking about the fuel. Rashi says you shouldn't put, what is that Rashi? You shouldn't, adkan, mikan ve'elach, right. Shalo yitein chaticha zefes, o shava b'ner b'makom shemen. Shouldn't put it, if you can imagine the oil, the lamp, you shouldn't put the wax or this, with this zephyr, this pitch, instead of the oil. So Gemara says, pshita. That's obvious. But no kidding. Right? It's Gemara says, shava itzricha. So Gemara says, no. You need to tell me that you can't use wax as an oil, because ma'am detema, you might have thought that psilus namilokhazia, that wax is also no good to use as candles. Meaning, obviously, candles have been around for a long time. You might have thought that that was no good. Meaning, what do? They take a wick and they wrap the candle, the wax around it, and the wax is almost acting like the wick. So you might have thought that the wax is no good for the wick as well. So Kamash Malan said, therefore, no. They tell us that from here on, that when you use the wax as put it in a lamp as some sort of oil-type fuel, so that's going to be no good. But when you make a candle, that's easily, that's obviously burns very easily. We have no concern whatsoever that you're going to come to adjust it, and that's totally fine. Just get to the two dots on the top of Chaf Aleph on the Aleph. Amar Rami Bar Avin Itrana Psulta Dezifta. Itran is the residue of the psoles of pitch, and shava psulta de duvsha, and wax is what comes out of honey. Right, again, not all wax, obviously, but beeswax. We're talking about beeswax. The Gemara says l'mayin afkamina, so who cares? The Gemara says simply the mekach u'memchar. You're right; it has nothing to do with Shabbos. Just in terms of if you're buying those items, you could just realize that that's where they come from, and you should expect to get the produce that you're buying. If that's the name on the thing that you're buying, just expect and realize what you're going to get. And therefore, in terms of buying and selling, don't get surprised. And also, if you think that you got charged too much, or you thought that you were buying something else, right, this is what these items are. All right. Anyway, Mitzvah will go weiter tomorrow. Tomorrow we get to start Chanukah sugyas. That's an enjoyable few blot. But Mitzvah, we'll go weiter. We'll see it when we get there.